All right, it's great to be with you this morning. Thank you for the invitation to come and be able to share a few thoughts on God's Word. Barbara and I are doing well, and we had a cold a few weeks ago, but I think we're pretty much over those things now, but maybe a sniffle or two once in a while. Anyway, so good to see some of you. Some of you, it's been a couple of years since I've seen some of you from Canada and elsewhere, and maybe the scheduling, you know, when we were here, you were here, but other times we came and you weren't around, so you came at a different time perhaps. But it's good to have all of you here, and thank you for your prayers. A number of folks were asking about how our home situation was going. Some of you had heard that we were thinking about moving from Tallahassee. We're in Tallahassee, Florida, for those who haven't been around for a while, right now, near Tallahassee, and we're going to continue living there, at least for this year. So we're thankful for the Lord helping us decide what we're going to do, because we are very, very busy traveling, and so that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to stay in the home that we our son and daughter-in-law. They're moving off to Texas, and so we're going to stay there in Tallahassee for now, and then we'll see what the Lord has from there down the road. But thank you for your prayers for us, and all's going well. The vehicle's going well. Someone asked me about that. I didn't count the number of kilometers or kilometers for you folks from Canada, but it's probably, I think Bill said 500,000 to 600,000 kilometers in that car now. But it's 355,000 miles in the U.S. So we're thankful the car is still running extremely well. We're thankful for that. So thank you for your prayers, and now we go to the Word of God, right? So here we are, and I've been asked by the brethren here to look at a portion that you're in, and that's, of course, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. You've been studying this in the what they would call the Sunday school time, and so I was asked to pick up, if I could, during that portion. And so I have the distinct pleasure of looking at the whole armor of God. Isn't that a wonderful piece of Scripture to have selected for you? And so now, unfortunately, I only have a couple of hours, and so I can't go into a lot of detail, of course, but I will try to give you an overview of this little piece, and then maybe a brother next week or the week after will go into more detail. But often, let's read it together first, and I'll talk more about that aspect. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, then, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. That's the ESV version, and I could read the Darby or KJV versions. I read all of them, by the way, just different ones. But this one gives the sense of some of the words that might be more difficult in the KJV or the Darby. And so I went ahead and read the ESV here. So now, when we look at this portion, one of the things I wanted to sort of touch on was sort of an overview. And I know some of you got the sheet. I had looked at this a while back, and I said, why are we given the armor of God in this sequence? Now, why do we get these little pieces? There could be more, of course, but we have these six pieces that are mentioned, right? And why in this order, and why this way, right in this spot? Why does He put it here? And as you often perhaps have heard me in the past, or if you've been here in the past, I love looking at what is the context of it all? What is God doing? And how does it fit, right? So that way we can get a sense, as we begin to look at the details, understand it better. And so I gave you a little chart there, and I will just touch on a few things. But if we look at the whole book, That's why I said I need at least a couple of hours here. You know, just, we want the whole book again. But the whole book plays an important role in understanding the armor. And you see, when we start, I would suggest there are two bookends for the book. Now, brethren may have already brought this out, so I may be repeating. But we don't remember so well sometimes, so it's good to repeat, isn't it? And so we have the tidings to the faithful in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1. And we close in chapter 6, 21 through 24. Some brother will cover that next week, maybe. The tidings to the faithful once again, right? That is, we have two bookends that speak of tidings to those who are faithful. And in between, we have three key sections. We have the idea of sitting, the idea of showing or walking, and the idea of standing. Sort of strange, the sequence. Then in chapters 1, verse 3 through 2:22, we speak of us being seated in the heavenlies. Isn't that a great thing to be? Seated in the heavenlies. But isn't it interesting it says that we're seated first? Sort of strange, isn't it? That we'd be seated first. Now, maybe the brethren have already brought this up, but it's very important to see. And we see it elsewhere in Scripture as well, the importance of being seated first before we can fight warfare. Sort of strange, isn't it? But it's true that if we're going to go on and serve the Lord, let us first be seated with Him first. Let us get to know Him and what He would have us to do, and then we can serve Him, can't we? Didn't that happen with Mary and Martha? And Martha comes along. And Martha's a wonderful person, isn't she? And some of you are like Martha, perhaps. You know, you love to serve. Praise the Lord. We need people to serve. I enjoy getting a meal once in a while. Yeah. And so you say, yeah, it's great to be served and so on. It's a great thing. And Martha was doing a good thing, wasn't she? Serving is good. But you see, there's something that was more important, a priority. And that Mary would have, didn't she? She's at the feet of Jesus. Didn't Mary serve eventually? I think she did. But you see, she wanted to be with the Lord first. Obviously, we have to be service later. You'd have to have dinner or whatever it might be. And we're doing the same today, aren't we? We're having the ministry of the Word first. We're seated with the Lord first around His Word. And then, of course, we'll go out to lunch, won't we, or whatever it might be, you see. We're seated first. And so, like Mary, we'll be at the feet of Jesus. And then after that, we can then fight the battles and do whatever else we need to do in serving and so on. And so we're sitting in this section up through chapter 3, verse 2, I'm sorry, 3, 2, I'm sorry, 1, 3 through 2, 22, all of chapter 2. Above principalities in the heavenlies, it says, in chapter 1, verse 21, right? That's what that section's about, in the heavenlies, seated there. But we come to the second part, chapter 3. All the way to the piece you finished last week, perhaps, chapter 6, verse 9. The idea of how we show it. How we show, or how we walk. I think it was Watchman Nee wrote a little book called Sit, Walk, Stand, I think he calls it, if I remember correctly. I want to use three S's, so I'm using the word show. Sit, show, stand. You know, don't mind me. And so we have show. But you see, if in chapter 3, verse 10, it says two principalities in the heavenlies. So if in the first section it's above or seated there, now we're showing two, the principalities and powers, aren't we? Interesting. And so you see, it's put together in a certain way, the book is. And then when we look at that whole issue of how we show, how we walk, and what we do, well, it's after we've been seated. And you see in chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, especially in verse 3, God's revelation of the assembly is made known, isn't it? And you went into that detail, hidden throughout the ages, as verse 9 brings out. And then in 10 through 21, the assembly's revelation of God is made known. See, in the first one, God's revelation of the assembly is made known. But now, in 10 through 21, the assembly's revelation of God is made known. He reveals the assembly, we reveal God. Isn't that interesting? Not just thrown together, is it? That God is trying to show us something. And then chapter 4, about walking worthily, right? In the truth. And in chapter 5, walking in love. and light. Well, that's a very quick overview of the book. Now we come to this little section we're in, the issue of standing, chapter 6, 10 through 20, and the word stand. And chapter 6, verse 12, as we already read, and now it's not two principalities and powers or above principalities and powers, it's against principalities in the heavenlies, isn't it? It's against, above, and to, and against. And so we see it's beautifully put together. It seems in my mind, now you might say I'm way off, that's all right, brethren. Or maybe the other brethren have already brought a different structure. There's many structures, of course, and that's fine. But this is just one that has come to my mind. The Lord has given to me. And so we have, there's the book. And here we are in this little section, 6:10 through 20, the issue being against principalities in the heavenlies. How are we going to go against that? And the evil one and his schemes. That word came out in our breaking of bread. I was laughing when the word came out. Brothers mentioned the word schemes in one of the verses. And oh, that's interesting because I remember reading schemes here in this chapter as well. The schemes of the evil one and how he operates. And so now when we come back to the portion we've just read, we see then another three key pieces. As we looked at verses 10 through 13, and it says, be strong, another S, of course, strong in his might. And we're going to see then, well, if we're going to stand against the evil one, and by the way, let's go back, I'll read the just before that in Ephesians chapter 6. Remember in Ephesians chapter, actually even back in the chapter 5, he talked about walking in love and walking in chapter 4 was the body of Christ and so on, and all the details of walking in truth and the like in chapters 4 and 5. And so he talks all about that. Then when he gets to 6, well, how is that going to be possible? How are we going to be able to walk that way? And so he talks about how we're to behave ourselves, says now. After talking about the children and the servants and all that, he says now. He says, finally, right? Now, that means he's getting toward the end. That doesn't mean I'm getting toward the end. That means he's getting toward the end. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. How are they going to be strong? He just talked all about this right now. How are you going to do it? How are you going to be strong? How are you going to stand? And he tells us, doesn't he? And that's what we saw there in verses 11 and 12 brought out as well. And when he talks about the issue of putting on the whole armor of God, of course, is his idea is you're going to put it on and leave it on, right? It's not something where you go, well, let's take it off once in a while and, you know. No, he says, it's in fact, the armor is singular, isn't it? The word armor is singular in the Greek, for those who like Greek. It's a singular word, and so the idea is, you know, it's the whole armor. You put it all on, and you leave it on, and now you're ready, say. And then you can stand, can't you? But I wonder today, as we look at the world, especially our countries, I'd say the U.S. and Canada for most of us, the difficulties that we see happening among people, among young people especially, it's a tragedy, isn't it? And the destruction of the family. And all that Satan's doing, he's very successful. And how are we going to stand against what's happening? Well, we can't do it without the armor of God. That's very clear. And we can't be those who, you know, sort of say, well, I can put on the armor of God now and put it aside. Once you start putting it aside, well, the evil one gets you pretty good. So we can't be putting it aside. We've got to put it on and keep it on. And so we stand against the methods of the evil one, the schemes, perhaps, again, your translation may have, or the methods, or something like this. And he talks about the whole armor. The mission and reason, then, is that we might be able to stand against him. And it's getting tough out there on our journey, isn't it? And that's why in verse 11 he says, well, here you are, stand right against the methods of the evil one, basically. That's the mission and reason he's talking about here. And in verse 13, right, he says the same thing, stand in the evil day. There's a little couplet there, right? So a little set of bookends there. The idea, both cases say stand. There's the mission and reason for what he's going to talk about, the armor of God. Stand. But stand where? Well, stand against the evil one in this world. Because he is really prowling about, isn't he? And then in verse 12, in the midst, he says, well, now here's the nature. He says, now you need to be aware, he says, in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, he said, well, there's, now we see why we need the spiritual armor, don't we? It doesn't mean we're not talking about physical armor and putting it, of course, that can be very helpful in a literal battle, of course. I used to have literal armor. I used to do it for like a VBS or for a kids camp or whatever. I had a whole set of armor, the helmet, the metal helmet, and the metal breastplate. And I had the Roman shoes that you tied all the way up here and so on. And I had a big sword. The kids like the sword, of course. I had to be very careful because it was very sharp. But we'd have the kids dress up in the thing. They all got excited. In fact, we were in Canada one time. We did it up in British Columbia. We did a whole week on the armor of God with the children. They loved it. But they understood a little bit about why it was there. Physically, you could see it. That was exciting. And they get their pictures taken and all that. But then they were learning, okay, this is why God talks about it. Because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, physical things, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers over darkness, this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. There's that term again, right? And that's what we're warring against, brethren. But it's a tough war. And we've in the past talked quite a great deal about Israel's journey in the wilderness and the warfare they went through in getting the land, right, the inheritance. And we're talking about that in Joshua, aren't we, right? That's the book we're studying during our time together the next time, right? This coming next meeting. So you don't want to leave because now we're going to talk about Joshua in the next meeting, say. And the issue was, how are they going to get the land? And we're going to learn some great lessons today. We're going to look at four chapters together, right? And we're going to learn all about, well, you see, you can fight warfare God's way or man's way. And you'll find out when you try to do it your own way, don't go so well. But we'll get to that, of course, in our next meeting. And so we don't wrestle against physical things now. It's a spiritual thing. And so he says, now, because of that, you need to have on, well, the spiritual armor. The whole thing. Once and for all, put it on. Singularly put it on. But then he says, well, now there's six items he talks about. It's one armor, right? But he said, well, now that it's composed of six pieces. That's one armor. And so now we have to look at the six things. And that's where, you know, I really got thinking, why these six? And why in that order and so on? And so I've come up with that little chart that you have that shows in 14 through 17 the six items. And it at least occurs to me that there's a structure to the six items. That we have, first of all, he mentions girding up your loins, I think the KJV or Darby said, right? The idea, of course, is you'd have a linen belt of some kind or a leather belt. And, you know, you had those flowing, not like I have on pants today, right? They'd have the robe type of thing, right? And if you're going to be moving forward and fighting the enemy, well, you see, you can't be tripping over your robe, right? And so you hike it up a little bit, right? You tie it off, right, with your belt, say. And that way you could actually move, right? You could actually run or do whatever you got to do in battle. And so here we have the belt of truth, I would call it. The girding up the loins. And this, if it's the truth, well, we could say the truth is the Word of God. Thy Word is truth, the Scriptures say. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and so on. He's the living Word, isn't he? And so you see, I think here, we see in the first element of the armor, the issue of we need to apply God's Word to our lives. If we're going to actually be able to fight spiritual warfare. The Word applied. That's much more difficult. It's great to be able to sit down and listen to a message, isn't it? And you might say, oh, dear brother, that was wonderful, and so on. But then when I tell you, apply it. Well, yeah, when I get a chance, brother, I'll, you know. Much tougher to do, isn't it? When we say to apply it. And today's tough, because you see, I could spend a whole hour just looking at that piece. But I'll let another brother take care of it next week or whatever, right? But you think about what's happening today. How about our young people, our children, our grandchildren, so on? How many are beginning to sort of fade away, it seems? Or if they say they know Jesus, they trusted Christ as young people, whatever. How many of them are actually reading the Word of God today, each day? That's a little tougher one, isn't it? How many of us are reading the Scriptures every day? Praying every day. It's important to do, isn't it? You see, we need to be applying the Word regularly, reading and studying and praying. God, help us to do it right. But I think that's something that's foreign to many homes today, it seems. The Word of God's on the bookshelf, of course. And they may pray at meals or something. But then where's the Word of God being studied as a family? Understanding what it has to say. How are we going to use it? How are we going to be different in this world? How are we going to be a light, as we just said? The belt, of course. And I said, well, that's interesting. The Word of God, that makes some sense to me. In a sense, the Word of God can be in this way a defensive weapon in some ways. I won't trip on my own clothing or whatever. And yet, number six is also the Word of God, it seems. That the sixth item is a sword, which specifically says it's the Word of God. And that seems to be applying the Word in some way too, doesn't it? And so I'm suggesting to you that the whole armor of God begins and ends with the Word of God. That's a suggestion. You may have other way of looking at it. That's fine. God can use that. But here to me, this made so much sense, as I said a number of years ago, thinking, oh, I get it. I think I get it, Lord. Thank you. That we have the armor of God beginning and being His Word. Because we have no other thing to go to, do we? Beyond the power of the Spirit, of course, helping us. But it helps us to apply the Word, to read the Word, and understand the Word, and so on. That's how we're going to learn. Remember Mary. And where was she? At the feet of Jesus. And hearing his Word, right? Marvelous thing, isn't it? How the Word makes a difference. How about the woman at the well? Remember her? Yeah, John chapter 4. And do you think the Word of God, well, she had the very living Word there, didn't she? And He spoke and she listened and it made a difference, didn't it? How about us? It should begin and end with the Word of God, shouldn't it? The whole armor of God, that's going to help us a great deal. The belt and the sword. Well, then after we do the belt, of course, then we have the breastplate. Now, the breastplate and the helmet, the next two together, the next pair, and number two and number five, do that pair. And these two are, we might say, external items that protect, right, we might say. They're usually made of metal or very thick leather or whatever. And so you see, we have one for the head and one for the chest, right, the breastplate. And we have the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. And so here we have protection. And it seems that both of these relate to the issue of our connection to Christ and being saved, it seems. That we have the assurance. We have protection, don't we? If it begins and ends with the Word of God. Well, what does the Word of God tell us all about? What does it start with? It starts with the gospel, doesn't it? Isn't that what Paul's been talking about? And he talks about the gospel of the shoes there in a minute. We'll get to that, right? Number three there. But you see, very important to see that it's the Word of God beginning and end, and it's the gospel of the glory, isn't it? As the translator's Darby, I think, brings out properly there, right? It's a possessive. It's the gospel that belongs to where? Above. The good news. And it speaks of righteousness and salvation. What Christ has done for us, we remembered it this morning, didn't we? And that's what we had this morning. We remembered. And so we have these, might say, two defensive type pieces. They protect us, don't they? And we can have assurance, can't we, that we'll survive. Now, this is spiritual warfare. Now, physically, of course, we will die. We know that. But I can assure you, if you know Christ, you'll never spiritually die. Christ lives for you, doesn't He? You know Christ. And what Christ is set up to do, He will do, won't He? And if He says He saved you, won't He save you? I think He will. He will deliver you. Well, we see then the breastplate and then the helmet. Well, then we go on and we see the last two, number three and four, the shoes and the shield. And there, of course, the shoes, the preparation of the gospel piece, are making you ready, we might say, right? I think ESV did a nice little job there. The idea is preparing you to go forward, it seems. Similar to the belt, it seems, in ways. There's a connection there, I think. But here we have the preparation, we might call the foundation, and that relates to the whole thing again, the issue of faith. And the shield, well, we have the shield of... well, faith. Not just the preparation, but the very principle, I call it. The very principle of the gospel, which is in the outer ones, right, the breastplate and the helmet, come from the word, which is outside of that, right? We have the word, and then we have salvation, but it all comes down to what's in the center, and that is what? Faith. Without God, without faith, well, we're not His, are we? And we might put on the other things. We might try to do that as individual pieces or whatever. We might try to say, oh, yeah, I know God's Word or whatever, read the Word. But unless I have faith, I'm not going to be able to fight those spiritual battles. The power of the Spirit will not be with me to fight them. I'll be doing them in the flesh, won't I? As we shall see when we get the book of Joshua. And so, as I looked at that, and you, again, there are many ways to look at the structure of it, these six, and you know, so I haven't gone into a lot of detail yet. You might say, well, gee, brother, how does that helmet really work? And how does it, well, I'm going to leave it to another brother to do. So. And so, whoever's next week, I don't know who's next week, brother, but, you know, whoever's next week can go back to the same portion if they want to, right? And say, now, brother, I looked at the overview of this, but now let's look at the details of what these things can do. You know, that can be a whole another message. And so I will not be offended if another brother takes it on, say. Wonderful thing, right? You might be able to do it for 6 weeks, six items, 6 weeks. There you are. So, whatever the brethren want here, I don't want to offend anybody, but we'll let the elders decide. We have these six items. The one armor of God, it seems to focus around, well, the word salvation and faith. And if we have that as our clothing, we might say, clothed in righteousness, the faith of God and so on. Well, then I think we can have an opportunity to be at warfare, can't we? We can have some success, it seems, if we have that on. The challenge today is, do we have it on? That is, do we believe? There might be one here, I don't know all of you personally, and there might be some online, some listening afterward, and the question has to always be raised. Well, before you can put on the whole armor of God, well, it requires faith, doesn't it? You have to believe what God has said concerning His Son, the truth, and so on. That's why all six of these go together now, as you look at it. It all deals with the Word of God, faith, and salvation. But you might say, well, how do you fight warfare that way? Well, you see, you can't fight warfare without it, can you? Without faith, without God, without His power, without His Word, we are just nothing. We have no power against the enemy. And yet men think they do today, don't they? They think, well, I'll get to heaven, or I can do it this way. And, you know, I try to be a good person. We grow up, we sang the songs in the church or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And, oh, you know, Lord will look after me. You know, he's a loving God, you know. Well, yes, He is, of course, a loving God. But when He's told you what to do and you haven't done it, well, you, like a child, you have to be disciplined, it seems. But you see, you're not even a child at that point because you don't know God. And so any discipline would be very harsh, won't it? But when you're a child of God, of course, you might be disciplined, but you're still His. That's wonderful. And so He says, you know, we can't do it on our own. And so if you think you can get to heaven on your own today, it's quite different because our Lord, as we already mentioned earlier, is the way, the truth, and the life. He says it. So either He was telling the truth or He's lying. And if you think He was lying, well, then why are you here? But He wasn't lying, of course. He wasn't deceiving. Otherwise, why would the disciples have died for Him? They'd die for Him, right? You see, very important then, that we know Christ by faith. And then if we know Christ by faith, then we can pray and ask God's help and applying the word and making sure our armor is on properly and that we can then stand, right? Remember that the whole issue is this section of standing. The third S in the section in 18 through 20, and I won't go into a lot of detail, I'll just briefly mention it, is supplicating. I had to use the S, of course. I could have said praying, but you say, I want to use another S. Supplicating in the Spirit, or in His Spirit. And here we'll just mention, it's the issue of supplicating or praying all seasons, all prayer, all perseverance. It seems it never ends, does it? Everywhere, anytime. We can always have power, can't we? If we are His. And we have the armor of God on. Well, with the Spirit of God and with the armor on, we can fight those battles, can't we? Get through the journey and get into the promised land, we might say. Now, I know we are there in some sense because we said we already seated. We saw that in the first part. But now we're not just sitting and we're not just walking. We're doing both, aren't we? But you see, here it says now we need to stand. The evil one is lurking about, destroying the very fabric of our nations, in a sense, because of the family being destroyed today. And are we going to stand? But don't just try to stand on your own. When you try to stand on your own, in your own wisdom, in your own methodologies and schemes, we're bound to fail, aren't we? May I encourage us, then, in this short lesson, not only to look at these things in more detail and apply them, as to be sure that we know Christ by faith, that we're reading and studying the Word of God, that we're truly saved, and all the things we just mentioned. Practically speaking, there's much more we'd say, but may those be a reality to us. And then that we might pray, Lord, you know, I want to be able to fight the spiritual battles. Help me to stand. Because I know I can stand because I have You and I have these things. And You say if I pray, then we'll make it through. Oh, might we put aside our own schemes again and seek after that which is of God. And He will help us, and the armor of God will be a great thing for us. What a wonderful tool He's given us. If we've got a tool or a piece of clothing, if you wish, whatever you want to call it, it's wonderful to have. May we in reality today not only have faith, but we have it on. And that we're seeking His power to fight against the enemy. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the time that we've had to look together briefly at this portion from the book of Ephesians. Oh, how wonderful Thy word is. To see how it's put together. To see how You structure things at times in a certain way so that we can easily call to mind what You're talking about. We need that, Father, because see, find it hard to remember sometimes. You know that. And so we pray that if there be one here who has not put their trust in Christ, that today would be the day before it's too late. And that individual might, by having faith in Christ, then be able to fight the battles in this world, stand up in this world. Oh, Lord, some are trying to stand in their own strength or are falling every day. We pray that that might not be the case for any here. And for the rest who know Christ, that they might stand strong, but now not just believing in Jesus, but actually using His word by being strong in faith. By praying and supplicating, asking in all perseverance, in all times, that God might help us to stand against the evil one who's so predominant today in this world. And Father, it's easier said than done, as we've said before. We need Your help. We're a needy people. And we ask You to help us with these things. It's in the name of our Lord Jesus we pray. Amen.